a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show on this, the last Thursday in April. And this is an April that has been a throw 'em up and grab 'em April. For those of you who may have tuned in last week expecting to hear planetary influences, instead you heard a replay. It's been known to happen. You know, everybody involved in this show are humans, and humans just have stuff happen. And so I want to first of all thank all of the guests that I rearranged, because this week, if you tuned in to hear Catherine Samuelson and Lori Powers Otto and I speak, that's going to be happening on the second Thursday of May. So in 2 weeks, the guest that you might have seen advertised briefly before we could get everything all rearranged, as when things happened, we have to do some follow-up. Last week's planetary influences decided to just hang out in the hammock of the stars and is here today. Since last week we did that replay, next week will be Matt Connerton and Matt Connerton Unleashed. So that will put us back on schedule, kind of. But I do know that some of you may have seen some posting that the second Thursday in May is going to be Mari is going to be our guest. And Mari will be moved down to the fourth one, so that the third one next month will be Planetary Influences again. So I hope you have marked up your calendar. Hopefully you put everything in pencil so you could erase it and rewrite it. And if you just go through the Dr. Kevin Show, the Facebook fan page, the Dr. Kevin Show, you will find all of these changes listed. So, you know what? Be flexible. Show up. Be ready. Whoever shows up and whatever we talk about will be worth it. So, yeah, that's all I want to say about it. So, welcome to this week to our astrologer, also hypnotherapist, plus cardiologist, not to be confused with a cardiologist. He doesn't operate on hearts, but he'll tell you what it means if you're a jack of hearts. So it's kind of close, maybe. Rob Stewart from Inner Center, robstewartinnercenter.org. He, as this month, like every month, is going to be talking to us about what are those damn stars doing now? And what mess did those planets get themselves into? And what prices are we going to have to pay for it? Or investments that we're going to get really good returns on? Could be any and all of the above. Rob, welcome. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Dr. Kevin. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I don't know about any of those things, but we'll certainly talk about the astrology for the coming month, and as we always do, and the ways of working with the flow of life, I guess you'd say, as astrology points to.
Yeah, you know, astrology can be that beautiful lotus floating down the river, opening up its wisdom and insight and guidance, or it can be an old tire inner tube. You know, it depends on the day. There are certainly some days when I look at what's going on in the stars and go, I'll pass on this one.
No doubt.
So I'm going to have you kind of kick things off. I will, as always, pepper you with questions or comments along the way, because, you know, if I ain't participating, people are going to think I'm sick. So we all know how that goes. So, Rob, where do you want us to kick off today?
On the spring equinox, and back in March, we had the sun enter Aries, and it has been in Aries. Basically, as the sun moves through these constellations, so the zodiac signs, we get opportunities to work with that energy, so to speak. We get to shine the light on areas of life and bring creativity there, reconnect with our, I don't know, the inner calling, I guess you'd say. And the sun is a great way to sort of track that and to work with what's considered the sort of flow of life that astrology points towards. And so the sun was moving through Aries through April 20th. And on April 20th, it moved into the sign of Taurus. And so, the first month of the year in astrological terms, that's the Aries, period of Aries. And that's a time to start new things. It's sort of new beginnings. It's springtime. It's new life. And when the sun enters Taurus, that was on April 20th, Taurus is a time to sort of slow down a bit. And really move through things in a grounded way. It's a time for to really take stock and to really focus on what matters. What do you value in life, and what do you take stock in? What do you how do you want to stabilize yourself and your life? Taurus is a very earthy sign. It's about taking predictable steps, taking slow, conservative steps in life to really hone in and sort of reconnect with what matters and keep things simple and slow and but sensual and beautiful. Taurus is ruled by Venus, and one of the aspects of Venus is living according to your own value system. Taurus speaks to that. It speaks to about self-reliance. It's about figuring out what truly matters to you and putting your energy and focus on what truly matters. There's a great visual for Taurus. There's many visuals for Taurus, but one of which that I like is sort of like, in a way, it's a bit of a tunnel vision, where you keep your eyes set on one thing and you focus on that thing and you follow through with it and you keep things simple. Taurus is a great time for that, to keep things simple, to keep things grounded, practical, and slowly moving forward in the ways that work. And let's see, so through the next, we're already a week into the sun in Taurus, but we have another 3 or so weeks while the sun's in Taurus, and it's time to focus on these types of things. It's a great time to focus in on beauty in your life. It's time to really cultivate patience and taking things slow and being grounded. It's a sensual time of the year as well. And so these are some of the themes that, as you work with, you can find a lot of value in spending energy in that in your life. And depending where Taurus is in your birth chart, it's an area of life where you can really focus in and hone in that area of life. So for me, Taurus is in the 10th house, and that's about career. It's about who I'm seen as in public. It's my public life. And so this time of year is great time for me to focus in on career and those areas of life.
Well, one of the things is, and of course this is only true in the northern hemisphere. Well, it's the reverse is true in the southern hemisphere. I'll get to that in a second. But the Taurus time of the year up here in the northern hemisphere is also the time that you work hard to put things into the earth. It's planting time. And, you think about that, you think that it's an earth sign. With the Aries, it's like, oh yeah, spring has sprung. I've been freed from the chattels of winter, and I can run around like a satyr and play my pipes and dance and all of the little greenery that kind of shows up. But if I want to eat next year, it's getting ready for planting time. And I always think of Taurus as that there is something about the Taurus energy, about not only embracing the beauty and sensuality of the earth, but also that hard work of getting the seeds in the ground, you know,
right.
Doing that right. The practical Taurian thing. And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, it's about harvesting, which has also got a Taurus energy to it. I mean, certainly any cornucopia of harvest would be pleasing to the Taurian nature. So
that's right.
So we look at these earth signs that things come into, and you know, they each have their own connective energy, kind of, that you can see that it is a time of earth, whether it is Taurus or whether it is Virgo or whether it is Capricorn. And
that's right.
So no matter which earth sign you have, there is going to be something practical about that. When it's Taurus, it's going to be stable. It's going to be that stability that is in that's involved in it. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the planting and it's really, Taurus is it's the first earth sign. It's very slow. It's very connect with the earth, methodological, and it's a time to go to keep things simple and grounded, and it's a lovely time of the year.
So. Now we're going to, so if you out there in our listening audience are not a Taurus and are not sure exactly where to find out where Taurus is in your chart or what would it mean, because when the sun is in there, it means that wherever Taurus is in your chart is going to be having some sunshine energy into it. Some stimulating energy into it, stimulating Taurian energy into it. So it would be a good time to do any of these Taurian things we're talking about, specifically in that area of your life, like Rob talked about where his Taurus was. So if you are a regular listener here to Planetary Influences, this is not the first time you've heard it, but I'll say it again. Go to innercenter.org. Book Rob to do your chart, have your chart in front of you. And as we're helping you understand what's going on in the skies and how it's affecting you, you can always call in. And we've had people do that before and ask questions based on their chart with what we're talking about. So get a chart done. And then you have this free resource once a month where you get to pick Rob's head until the poor man is crawling on the ground at the end of the show going, no more phone calls.
Yeah, the phone calls are a lot of fun. So anytime anyone has a question, please don't hesitate. We have a partial solar eclipse, a new moon, on April 30th in Taurus. And this is the first of four eclipses this year in 2022. We have two solar eclipses and two lunar eclipses. And, new moons are essentially they mark a new phase, a new beginning. And when it falls on an eclipse, which is when the new moon's occurring near the north node there in the sky, it's a stronger new moon. It's new page, it's new beginnings. And in Taurus, it's about planting new seeds, you know, like you said earlier. It's about bringing in a new chapter of beauty in your life, bringing more stability. You know, where in your life do you want more stability, more value? Where do you want to put your time and energy and attention? Where do you want to create more value in your life? You know, this is a really good time here leading up to April 30th to plant those new seeds and create those intentions. New moons are a huge, perfect time for intention setting. And these last for 6 months. So there's plenty of time to sort of get things started and work towards, you know, those goals. And in Taurus, the more comforting and pleasing, the more security-based it is, the better. That these are all Taurian themes. And so new moons are about... Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Kim.
No, I just wanted to... go ahead, finish what you're saying, because then I've got two or three comments. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. New beginnings, they mark a six-month sort of new beginning. And this particular new moon in Taurus, Venus is conjunct Jupiter, so there is this sort of relational themes to this new moon. And also the sun and the moon are conjunct Uranus, so there's this sort of unexpectedness and changes. And it's sort of go with the flow type of themes here with this new moon in Taurus. But it's a great time to, you know, put your energy and focus on what it is you want. What do you value in life? And you know, put your energy and focus there.
So I have a few questions, and I know at any moment we're going to go cut away to break. So the first question I'm going to ask is, when this new moon comes in and we have this, what degree is it going to be? We'll be right back for that answer. I'm making Rob work. And then I'm going to ask my question.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. We are doing the monthly planetary influences with Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. That's innercenter.org. And I forgot to tell you, 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. If you have a question for me, if you have a question for Rob, just dial in, and we'd love to hear from you. Rob, you still there?
Still here, yeah.
Didn't scare you away, huh? I'll have to try harder. Go ahead.
So the new moon's at 10 degrees Taurus. You can look at your birth chart, see where 10 degrees Taurus is. That's the location of this new moon. And if it makes any contacts with your birth planets there, in your birth chart, that can speak to some of the ways in which this new phase, this new beginning, may affect you in your life. Do you know where 10 degrees Taurus is in your chart, Dr. Kevin?
Oh, I sure do. How did I know that's what you were going to say? At 10 degrees Taurus, which is in my sixth house, because Taurus is on the cusp of my sixth house, at 8 degrees, is my Mars at 10 degrees, 28 minutes.
Oh.
It's going to sit right on my Mars for it. It's not even like it's going to be in conjunct, like in a conjunct of a few degrees. It is sitting right on that Mars. So.
Right on there.
Illuminate me, Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, so I heard you right. This is hits your Mars in the sixth house. Is that right? Right dab,
yep.
Right on the nose of your Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so the sixth house, that is the house of daily work, daily routine, daily the daily grind, really. It's also has to do with healing work. Obviously, you're day-to-day job has to do with healing and helping people heal and those types of things. So this is saying that there's some new phase, new beginning with regards to your daily work. Perhaps, maybe you're taking, I don't know, maybe it's just a really busy time in work, day-to-day grind, that type of thing. But with Mars in the sixth, there's this sort of drive to be useful, to be in service, to be helpful. And maybe there's something that springs up here over the next month or so that, gets you motivated, Mars, to, maybe new avenues of healing, new avenues of fixing or that type of thing. There's some new cycle beginning with all that. But I think this will be a busy time for you in a time of like taking action with the new moon conjunct your Mars. And in the sixth house, it's your daily work, your daily, day-to-day tasks. Maybe even perfecting some skill. It's another sixth house type of thing of improving skills, perfecting, mastering a craft. So all these types of things could apply for you.
Yeah. Well, it when it does that, and I'm going to say that, I'm going to say this because I'm going to drop a piece in here and then we can move on, which is it also trines my natal north node in the 10th house, because my north node is in the 10th house in Virgo, because Virgo is right at the top of my chart. Let's talk about service, right? So I find it interesting because I was working with actually a spiritually based consulting client, because I do consulting with people that want to either start a spiritual business, grow a spiritual business, take it to a next level. Besides, as I've mentioned, I mean, my early degrees were in business and psychology, and I spent over a decade teaching at an MBA level boot camp for entrepreneurs. So I can't even tell you the number of entrepreneurs I've helped launch or grow businesses. Obviously, I have some expertise in the spiritual community, or I wouldn't still be here after 32 years. And so I was doing one of those, and the woman was showing me, she was showing me how she did her work because we were looking for some defining language. And she popped up with this window was opening, and she saw it really opening in June and coming out. And it was really going to be about the blowing up of my business in a particular area. And from the symbol she drew, without knowing that she was drawing it, she drew the symbol that used to be on my business consulting brochure. And she hand drew a symbol, said, I don't know what this is supposed to mean. And I looked at her and said, oh, I know. It's right on the front of one of my brochures. So I think that you saying this now is just a wonderful little confirmation of, I think I'm going to be doing a lot of business consulting for spiritually based businesses over the next 6 or 9 months, because she gave it a June. She gave it a that it was going to be May, June, up to September, October was going to be like the really hot period, which brings it to the new moon, to the full moon. How does that strike you? Does that sound like that's a rinky-dink coincidence, or do you think that they're, do you think the universe is trying to tell me something in both my ears?
Yeah, well, I'm no longer surprised by the synchronicities that can occur on, you know, numerous fronts. But yeah, I would say that makes a lot of sense. You know, the sixth house is a house of coworkers and, you know, that type of daily work, daily job. So all that makes a lot of sense. And I'd say you're going to be pretty busy doing all this stuff, but it's like you said, it's trines your north node in the 10th house. Maybe there's some opportunities to get more exposure through this type of work with that trine of the new moon to your north node in the 10th. So there might be some new opportunities related to career and that type of stuff, in addition to what you've been talking about. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a really fruitful time for you, and just maybe it's going to be a really busy time as well.
So it also trines my Saturn in the second.
Okay.
Just to throw that in. The listener's going, what does that mean? But we won't go into that. If we have time at the end of the show, we'll talk about it. I don't quite have a grand trine, but it's close. It depends on how you interpret the different energies. So go ahead.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
Yeah, so that's the new moon here, the partial solar eclipse. Like I said, there is a conjunction to Uranus with this new moon. So there is something unexpected and, you know, breaking free of old patterns. That can all be a part of the themes here. And then, so we also have on April 29th, we have Mercury entering Gemini. And that's its home sign. So Mercury is the way we communicate with others. It's our interests, our mind, the way we think. And so as Mercury moves through Gemini, it's a time where we can be easily distracted, maybe taking in a lot of information, a lot of conversations, free-flowing information, input, output. It's a great time to catch up with friends and share experiences and talk. So, Mercury's going to Gemini. That's April 29th. And then we have a Mercury retrograde coming up, and that's from May 10th through June 3rd. And Mercury will be retrograding through Gemini and Taurus. And basically what a retrograde is that from the perspective of us here on Earth, it looks as though the planet is moving backwards in the sky. And of course, the planet isn't moving backwards in the sky. It just looks that way. Similar to how when you pass a car in a freeway, it looks like that car is moving backwards, but really you're just moving faster than the car. So it's sort of a perception thing. And that's what's happening with the retrograde planets. And so when a planet goes retrograde, basically it's a time to reassess and reevaluate the themes, the energies of the planet that is retrograding. So with Mercury, there's something about re-looking at things in the past. It's a great time to look back and revisit old things. It's a time when old friends can conversations can spring up with old friends. It's a great time to maybe fix some old problems or whatever that showed up in your life, and you're getting into the taxes or whatever it is, to looking back and fixing things, even having healing conversations with people of the past or those types of things. It's a great time for meditation and to taking it slow, particularly with Mercury in Taurus, as it will be as it's retrograding. But it's a time to slow down. It's a time for meditation and looking inward. And it's not a great time for starting new things, new projects, and new mental enterprises. It's more of a time to fix and relook at what you've already created and revise and reflect on those things. And so that's May 10th through June 3rd.
So I'm going to weigh in here a little bit, if you don't mind,
The
Mercury retrograde, which is, you know, because let's face it, whoever is the PR agent for Mercury retrograde sucks. They do a horrible job at pointing out all the benefits. It gets a bad rap. Everybody's like, Mercury's retrograde. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. No, it's not. It's just you're like upside down, so it looks like the sky is falling. But I want to put it out there that there's a lot of very specific things that you can do in a Mercury retrograde that a Mercury retrograde is perfect for. And it's all about knowing the energy. I mean, if you know that you're going to have rain in the afternoon and you're planting that garden we were talking about, you go out early in the morning and you get that planting done and you get everything there, and then it rains all afternoon, you're just doing the right thing at the right time. You don't sleep in and then decide you're going to start doing the planting as the rains are coming down. You can, but it's more uncomfortable, it's more of a problem, and you're more likely to slip and fall and end up falling in the mud, right? So why would you do that? When you pay attention, I love to, as you know, Rob, compare astrology to weather. It just seems like it fits for me. So when this Mercury retrograde goes, it's a rainy day outside. Don't go outside. It's, you know, if you don't have to go outside, don't go outside. Don't start the garden when the torrential rains are coming down. It's a good time to curl up and go inside. It's a good time for the review. It's a good time for the plan. And with it being in Mercury and with the Mercury going the retrograde in between, and I don't know the exact degrees of each side, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to be completely in my seventh house the whole time, because my seventh house is divided between Taurus and Gemini. So I think it's going to spend the whole time in my seventh house, which tells me something. But also the fact that it's in Gemini and Taurus, wherever that falls in your chart, this is going to be a time that you may want to go in and examine your values around that area of your life. You may want to examine and kind of look at, not make any changes. As Rob said, it's not a good time to start new things or make changes, but it's a time to reevaluate. With the Geminis, I always call them, they're the data collectors. They're out there like a Hoover vacuum cleaner, sucking up every fact they can get their hands on. Oh, that fact was good. Let me have another one. Fact, opinion, data. Data, data, data. So, I mean, in fact, even data was a Gemini. There was data and there was lore, right? They were a Gemini. So, for those of you who are a Star Trek fan, you'll get the reference. The rest of you, I don't care. But in that Gemini part of the Mercury retrograde, it's a good time to say, you know, I've been thinking about making some changes. I've been doing some investigating. I've been weighing a lot of things. I've been talking to a lot of people. I've been gathering information. It's a good time to see if the information is actually telling you what you thought it told you. It's time to sift back through the data. You know, you may say, I've come to a conclusion that I'm going to zag. I'm going to find a new job, or I'm going to put my house on the market, or I'm going to do this with my career, or I'm going to do that, wherever it's showing up, because of all of this data that you collected. This is the time to review the data and make sure that none of it is faulty. None of it has been, you know, like you maybe twisted it. You didn't see it clearly. You made a decision about a piece of data, and then a later piece of data gave you something else, and you didn't go back and redo things. I mean, Rob, does all this make sense, or am I just doing nonsense here?
It makes complete sense to me, for sure.
Yeah, and you're the only one that counts. No. but
yeah.
Guys, go ahead.
No, right on. I mean, like you said, it's a great time for going inwardly and taking it slow and all that stuff, you know. Mercury retrograde gets a bad rap, But if you really kind of, like you said, take your time, take the time to do the inward sort of meditation or reflection, it's a wonderful time for that. And, you know, the only word of warning I usually say with Mercury retrograde is that it's a time when miscommunications can occur between people. And so to be really as precise as you can with your communications, and just know consciously that misperceptions can occur during this time. So take your time and communicate effectively as you can, and give yourself a bit slack, and others too, when it comes to communication and all that stuff.
Yeah. And this is the time that if somebody who always gets right back to you, if you leave them a voicemail or text them or do a message, that this is the time that you don't want to wait too long before you check in and say, hey, I just want to make sure, did you see that? Did you get that? Did that happen? Because Mercury retrograde is a wonderful time for communications, which are, oh, let me see, text, emails, voicemails, phone calls, you know, all of those communication things, the things that we use to be communicators, can sometimes be even a little bit more unpredictable or unreliable or screw up. So if you send somebody something and this is somebody who always gets right back to you and they don't, reach back out. They probably didn't get it. It probably gets stuck somewhere. That's a Mercury retrograde thing to me. Would you agree?
Oh, right on. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So it's not even about you being misunderstanding when you communicate. That's part of it. I agree completely. But it's also your communications get lost. That's the lost letter in the mail. And we'll be right back for our last session of Planetary Influences, where Rob is going to wrap up what's going on in the rest of this time until our next show going on in the stars.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of Planetary Influences for the time of Taurus, or also known as April, in this case, with our astrologer, Rob Stewart from innercenter.org, that's innercenter.org. If you don't have your chart, reach out to Rob, book a session, find out what's going on with your base chart, and then come back and visit us once a month. You can always call in at 202-570-7057 with whatever questions you have about how the things going on in the stars, the skies, the planets, how they're going to be affecting you. So, Rob, what have we got left up to bat?
Yeah, so we also have Pluto going retrograde also on April 29th, and it'll be retrograde through early October. And so Pluto in astrology speaks to the empowerment journey. It speaks to this empowerment journey that we're all moving through in our life. Pluto brings up the fears that we have, anxieties we have, these subconscious beliefs and these things that operate beneath the psyche, sort of thing. You know, we all have this compulsive tendencies to feel safe and things of that nature, and old habits. You know, Pluto speaks to all these sort of subconscious habits and compulsions that we have. And when Pluto goes retrograde, it's a time to really relook at and reevaluate these subconscious patterns that we have in our life, the sort of the deeper psyche. You know, sometimes, you know, when we take action in life, it's like, oh, why did I do this thing? You know, what was motivating me to, you know, to eat that extra cupcake or whatever it is? You know, that's one that I think most of us are guilty of, you know, but these sort of subconscious tendencies and patterns and compulsions to help us feel a bit safer, you know, like eating food or other types of things. Pluto speaks to these sort of deeper subconscious patterns. And over the next 5-6 months, we have times, it's a great time to sort of dig in, dive in and look at these old beliefs that we have, these old patterns through which we can act subconsciously. And Pluto's in Capricorn. So that's, you know, that's really about being mature in our life. It's about being an authority, you know, so oftentimes it can relate to work, you know, our public life, you know, being recognized. These types of themes, you know, being seen, being recognized, being seen as mature, being realistic and practical, these are all things that maybe, you know, is a great time to look at any subconscious patterns that we might have in those areas of life.
So I have to ask the question. You probably knew what was coming. If you didn't, you should have. So what degree is it in Capricorn when it starts to go back, and how far back does it go?
Yeah, let's see. So
Pluto's a slow mover.
Let me just see. So Pluto will be at 28 degrees when it starts its retrograde. And then when it finishes its retrograde on October 9th, let's just see. It's not going to be a whole lot. Let's see. Hang on one sec.
23 maybe? No, probably not about, even that.
Yeah, it's about 26 degrees. So just a 2-degree movement, about 2 and change.
So I wanted to verify that, and this is really something that could be very, very helpful for you guys out there. Because Pluto moves so slow, and it hits so deep. Like, the country is in its Pluto return, and the length of the time that it's actually considered in its Pluto's return is what, like, what, 3-5 years or something? I mean, I know we've talked about it, but I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But it's quite a while. So I asked because I have this little Saturn hanging out in Capricorn. It's the only thing I have in Capricorn. But it's at... It is at 15 degrees. So it's never going to get close enough to really shake it up. It's already shooken it up. Because at some point, in my lifetime, that Pluto went over that Saturn. Because it doesn't move that slow. But it'd be interesting. Someday I should look over and see when did I have it. But I wanted to make sure that the next couple of months of it going retrograde and then direct and back over I just wanted to make sure it wasn't happening right on top of my Saturn, because that would make it a whole different experience. Right, Rob?
It very well could. But, you know, Saturn, if that were the case, Saturn would be in its own sign of Capricorn. So, you know, there's no, you know, astrology isn't about good themes or bad themes. They're just different themes, you know, much like the seasons, like you mentioned earlier. And while we might have preferences for summer or spring, there's great utility and gifts in the winter and fall and all that stuff. So to me, there's no good, there's no bad. Yeah.
Well, you know, and it wasn't about good or bad. It's about if Pluto is going to be doing a retrograde dance right over one of your planets, there's probably some really deep work that's going to get done. Deeper than normal, I think, was my point. Not that it's necessarily bad, but, I mean, if it was going over my Saturn and it was going to be like, right, I mean, if my Saturn was at like 27 degrees and it's at 28 and it's going to go back over it and it's going to go back to 26 and then it's going to go back over it and it's already gone over once, that would tell me there was some deep soul level work that I needed to do around my Saturn in Capricorn, and Pluto was going to be relentless in making sure I did it. I mean, does that make sense when I say it that way?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty fair, you know. Pluto dredges up the old things that are needed to be let go of. And easy to say, just let it go, let it all go. and we do, you know, that's the sort of purpose of Pluto, is to let go of that which is no longer needed. And sometimes that's easier said than done.
I mean, you may have let it go at the end, but it may have been because they were dragging it from your cold, crippled fingers holding on to it for dear life, and you were scraping and you screaming, and you have like, looks like your body was run over by a Mack truck by the time it finally can't hold on to it anymore. Well, you can do it with ease and grace. And that's my point. That's why if anybody knows that they have anything during specifically a planet that plays a bigger role in your life, I would be really paying attention to embracing that and to see how you could make it an easier, more joyful experience than thinking it's going to go away. It's going to go away. Oh, it hit me. Oh, it went away. Oh, it just ran over me again. Oh, well, but it's going to go away. Oh, no, it's coming back. One more. Just let it go the first time. The second two times will be much easier. I'm just saying. I'm trying to help the people out here, Rob.
Yeah. Right on.
What else we got going on?
Yeah, I mean, these are sort of the major things I had in my notes for the next month or so. You know, like you mentioned, we are in a Pluto return for the United States, and as Pluto is retrograding, it will pass over its natal Pluto, and it'll retouch that later this fall. But you know, we are in a time of deep change for the United States, and therefore globally as well. And this Pluto return for the United States is in the second house, which is the house of economics and finances. And so, you know, there's just changes in that area of life. I would expect over the next few years, you know, people talk about digital currencies and different types of systems of money and things like that. Who knows? But we're in a time of deep change, and I would expect change in those areas of life over the next few years.
Yeah. And you said, when does it go direct?
Pluto goes direct October 9th. And
so it's going to be fully moving, but it's definitely going to be an interesting set of midterms, because they're only 3 weeks later.
Right, right. Yeah, that's right. Well, Pluto doesn't touch the natal United States Pluto until the end of December.
Okay.
And so, you know, January 1st into 2023, you know, maybe, I don't know, it could be a time, you know, another phase of change here, as we've been experiencing over the past few years. But we'll have Mercury and Venus there near Pluto as well. So, yeah, I don't know.
Are there any, I don't know how accessible you have, and I know we're almost out of time, but, you know, I'm going to slide in as many questions as I can. I'm going to get my pound of flesh from you, Rob. is there anything else in the birth U.S. chart that you know of that is within Pluto striking distance, as in it natally? I don't know if you, when the last time was you looked at the actual chart.
You mean natally, with regards to this Pluto, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, is there anything that's right close to that Pluto that is going to be come into this mix?
Yeah, well, the United States south node of the moon is at 6 degrees Aquarius. That's within 9 degrees of Pluto, so it's a really loose conjunction. The south node of the moon speaks to past lives. It speaks to past conditioning. And so with Pluto, you know, Pluto will eventually touch that south node of the moon in the United States chart. And that it's again, it's a very transformative time when Pluto transits over one south node. So, you know, we are in this, you know, as we've seen over the past few years, there's great change occurring. And I would expect that to continue. But that's the other big thing right there near the natal Pluto is the south node of the moon. And it just speaks to the United States as really focused on finances, south node of the moon in the second house, a unique way of going about its value system. That's what the south node would also represent. But again, likely a lot of changes and transformations with regards to old patterns of the United States.
Yeah. So I guess I had misheard you when I thought you were saying that it was actually going to hit the Pluto in this upcoming Pluto retrograde, like it was going to hit the natal Pluto of the United States. But it's not hitting the natal Pluto of the United States until January.
Oh, no, it'll hit the natal Pluto as Pluto's going retrograde. But then it'll go direct and then re-hit it, you know, sort of square on going direct. And that's in January of 2023. But there will be a contact as it's going retrograde. And that, let me just see. That'll be around, oh boy. Hang on a sec. That'll be around in July, or let's see here. Yeah, it'd be June, July.
Okay. Well, fun times are coming.
Well, just transformation, you know, continued transformation as we've been experiencing here.
Hey, you know, I'm the transformation kid. Pluto is the planet closest to my midheaven. I got a packed eighth house. I got a Scorpio rising. I got a Scorpio moon. I mean, you know, let's face it.
Yeah.
I could have, you know, transformation could have been my middle name. not only for myself, but for everybody else I touch, which is why I always talk about being a catalyst, because I think catalyst is kind of a perfect Plutonian word. I'm all about this. I like doing this transformational shit. Keeps life interesting. Rob, you got any new or exciting events coming up we should know about?
Nothing too much new. I am offering some online classes and things of that nature. So for those interested, you can check out my Facebook page. That's Inner Center Astrology on Facebook. Just offering some online classes for those interested in astrology. And always offering the natal chart readings that focus on past lives, and that's been a lot of fun. Anyone interested, just reach out and get in contact.
Also, so everybody out there, go to newhampshiremetaphysical.com. That's nhmetaphysical.com. We have an upcoming psychic message circle in May and a psychic fair in June and a ton of different classes for a ton of different people that we are promoting and inviting you to attend. That's newhampshiremetaphysical.com. Rob, I'll talk to you in about a month, you know?
All right.
Whatever you do, try not to get caught at it.
Take care.